The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Navi Mendoza. And I've got Jackie Schlegel in studio with me as well. And Christina is on the controls. So how's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Doing good?
I'm ready to go higher.
You're ready to go higher, baby?
I am.
I love that because higher can mean so many different things. And we're always seeking to go higher, all of us, higher levels of understanding, education, consciousness, well-being, our nutrition, everything. So
all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's inspiring being here.
Well, thank you. It's always great to see you and have you in studio. Jackie Schlegel is the executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. We're going to have a great show. She's going to update us. And I can't wait. There's a lot that's been going on. And we have Jennifer. She's a PhD. Jennifer Margulis. She's marvelous. She's marvelous. But we're going to be, this is an incredible book, you guys, that I think Lexi was the one that originally saw it and told us about it. It's called Your Baby, Your Way, Taking Charge of Your Pregnancy, Childbirth, Parenting Decisions for a Happier, Healthier Family. And I think guys need to listen to this too. It's an incredible book. It really is. And I've got so many questions for her and it'll be great. She's an award-winning journalist as well. So what else have we got? What's going on with Texans? Well, should I tease? Tell us one thing that's going on with the Texans for vaccine choice.
One thing. Oh, gosh.
What's the biggest thing going on right now?
The biggest thing going on is we're still here. Like, that's, you know, with so many attacks across the country, like, we're still going strong and we're growing. So we're here. Yeah, we haven't been shut down.
Well, what's that song by Elton John? Lyrics are always going through my head. I'm still standing? No, what is it?
I think it is still standing. I think you're right on
is
that.
Is it?
I'll look it up.
Yeah, we're still standing.
But we're going higher.
You're going higher,
baby.
We're
going higher. We're not just standing. We're going higher.
You're going higher, and I love that. Well, you know what? We all need.
I'm still standing.
I'm still standing. Is that it? What's the lyrics to it?
You want me to sing it?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm just kidding. I constantly
have lyrics in my head. I don't know what is wrong with me. I guess that's a good thing, though, right? That means that I listen to and love music so much. But
it goes, you could never know what it's like. Your blood, like winter, freezes just like ice. Ring any bells? Maybe it's the wrong song.
No. Is it Elton John?
Yeah. And there's a cold, lonely night that shines from you. And no, nothing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'll wind up like the wreck you hide behind the mask you use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I've always wanted to do a segment on the show, and we just need to start doing it where, like, when we've got Vaughn or Dewan in studio, we break down the lyrics of the song to what they mean. Wouldn't that be fun?
Could put our spin on it.
That
might be fine.
I can't even admit how wrong I was this morning listening to a song that I have listened to literally for 30 years, okay? And I had the lyrics wrong, and I'm sitting there singing, and I'm like, wait a minute, what did she say? You know, and then Did you look it up? Yeah, I looked it up, and I can't even tell you guys because you would go off the road laughing. It was I'm too embarrassed to share it. I really am. I'm like, how in the hell did I get that out of that, you know? But we hear we hear what we want to hear, right?
Mm-hmm. But then
so
when
many
you know
times,
what they
it's
say,
like the
you
vaccine
can't
industry.
Unhear.
Right? It's like the industry.
It's
you
true.
Hear what you want to hear.
Oh, my gosh.
Very true.
I would have you all in stitches laughing if I shared it with you. Maybe I'll get the guts tomorrow. We'll see. And make myself transparent more than I already do. But you know what? I need some spiritual daily. So, Jackie, is this your first time meeting Navi? Had you met her before?
No, we met last time I was here.
You did? Okay.
Which feels like eternity ago.
It's been a long time, but she does a blog. Navi Mendoza does a blog called The Spiritual Daily, and I want to hear, but we all need it. We need a little spiritual daily. So what is our message for today?
So, I was kind of on the spot. So, so today we can just remember to be thankful for every single day that we get to open our eyes. I know the whole Kobe Bryant thing had a lot of people kind of reflecting and going over, just reflecting on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And a lot of us just, I think we forget that every day really is a gift.
It
doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're going through a challenging time or if you're going through a great time. Every day is a gift. And it's important to just be grateful for it because, like I said before, everything happens in divine timing and you never know when your time is up, because all of our time is, you know, it's going to be up one day. So just remember to be grateful and thankful and, every
day. I love that message. I love that message. And I will be transparent here because I told myself this morning, I had a little bit of a rough afternoon yesterday after I left the show. Just people let you down, you know, and misunderstand and judge and all these things. And I just was feeling, I'm very sensitive. I'm a sensitive baby sometimes when it comes to, I don't know, being misunderstood or I don't know. I don't want to go too deep into it, but I woke up this morning. I had trouble sleeping, and then I woke up this morning really depressed, like really, really depressed. And that is where my brain went, is to be thankful that you even have this day, Bernadette. This too shall pass, you know. Mm-hmm. Things happen and things pass, and you do get through them, and you persevere, and you're stronger ultimately because of it. And you know, we all have days like that, right? You have days like that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think even with my job, I sometimes get so caught up in just, again, the negativity.
Yep.
And I have to remember, you know what? One day, this job might not be there. So which I think we would all really kind of welcome.
Right.
But to enjoy it and not to get beat down by it, but just enjoy and have compassion on myself when I don't feel like I can do enough.
I just wish the world was more compassionate. I wish it was more compassionate, especially towards animals and children, everyone. But animals are so vulnerable. Our elderly are vulnerable. Children are vulnerable. And just there's a lot of hurt in the world. There is.
And we all need compassion.
And I don't understand why we all are, not we all, because I don't broad brush, but how so many people can be so cruel. It makes me think of the song, you know, what's the song? Come on, you guys. You know, how can people be so cruel? How can people be so...
We're not on it like you.
Remember
today.
That?
You are on your game.
You know that? You know that song?
No.
I'm oh, sorry. My gosh. Come on, you guys. You know, Christina.
I'm trying real hard right now. I kind of get a Bernadette vibes here.
I was going to say I would sing it, but again, I don't want to humiliate myself. But okay, let me see if I can get in the zone.
Please.
If I knew the beat, at least I'd give you a beat background.
How can people be so heartless?
Oh,
I will dance with you.
How can people be? Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, easy to be hard.
Yeah, what's the name of the song?
Easy to be hard.
Easy to be hard.
Yeah,
I say it's easy to be nice. Let's be kind, everyone.
I agree. I love your voice on the note of being kind. I think it's beautiful.
Well, you know, there's enough a-holes in the world. And don't get me started about the drivers. The drive here today was like, oh my gosh, if there was a camera in my car, it would be so entertaining because I like blink my lights at everybody that drives like an a-hole now. just, you know, it just gets the steam out of me because it's so dangerous to drive poorly. And I went through that corridor. I really believe that on the east side of town that Dallas and Garland and the Mesquite police should really do something about that corridor between like where it's 635 and like 30, and it kind of begins before that. But that's right. You're still in Mesquite. Then you go through Garland. Then you're in Dallas. There are so many drivers that need to be pulled over and put in jail for their reckless driving. Put in jail overnight. 100%.
Do you have teenage drivers?
Do I have? Yes, yeah. I do. My youngest daughter is just now learning to drive. She got her permit this morning, as a matter of fact. I felt this way for years and years and years. My other daughter learned to drive, yes, and it's just so dangerous out there. People are so selfish. They get in their car and they drive. See, you got me started.
But that's why I asked, because I have a new teenage driver. Ugh. And I will tell you, the lack of compassion shown towards a young man who's following the law and the speed limits.
Right.
I'm blown away by how many people in a school zone will honk at him because he's not going fast enough.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, 16-year-old boy, dangerous situation.
It's dangerous.
Come on.
Well, and the people, all these a-holes that I see on the road, they're always male. I'm sorry. But 99%, I haven't seen a female do this in a while. And I'm not saying that, you know, women, because women, you know, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But it's usually young male drivers. They're driving way too fast. They're not using their signals. And they are endangering people. They're riding on people's A-double grass snakes. And I just, oh my God, I wish I was a police officer so I could pull them over and just smack them. Although you're not supposed to smack somebody if you're a police officer, right? Okay.
Probably not a good idea.
Everyone just needs to slow down.
I'm in trouble for saying that. I can already feel the emails coming in. All right. I was just kidding. Get a sense of humor. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Welcome back to Wow. Welcome. I'm a little wild today.
I love it.
Oh my gosh, welcome back to One Life Radio. You know what? You got to just have fun and give it up once in a while, right? And try to just get through this thing called life. As I said, welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Christina on the controls. Navi Mendoza is in studio with me and Jackie Schlegel. And I have a very special guest on the line. Dr. Jennifer Margulis, I hope I pronounced it correctly, is an award-winning journalist, book author, and sought-after speaker. She is the author of Your Baby, Your Way, and the co-author of The Vaccine-Friendly Plan. Dr. Margulis is an internationally recognized children's health advocate. Her specialty is promoting science-forward writing for a vibrant life. She currently lives in Oregon with her husband and four children. You can find her at her website. That's jennifermargulis.net, and it's spelled MARGULIS.net. Jennifer Margulis.net. How are you doing today, Dr. Margulis?
I'm doing very well, Bernadette. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I love this book, and I thank you for writing it, by the way, because so many parents need this information in order to raise children that are well and give them the best chance for success. So what is your stance on status quo prenatal care? Let's start with that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, when women get pregnant, they're super excited. They want to run to the doctor right away, and they think that, you know, they're kind of entering this world of sort of wonder, right? Mm-hmm. And blessings. It's hard to get pregnant, and it's a huge blessing. And unfortunately, I think most women in America, especially if you get followed by a regular gynecologist, obstetrician, get a pretty rude awakening very, very fast, Bernadette. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that what you just called status quo prenatal care is so highly medicalized. A doctor is going to spend less than 20 minutes with you. The average time a doctor will spend with you during your prenatal appointment is something like 15 or 18 minutes, and that's if you're lucky. So you will hear from so many women that they have so many questions, they're so excited, and the mm-hmm. doctor is literally holding the door, asking them to leave instead of sitting with them, being with them, and answering their questions. Oh. So this highly medicalized model, this idea that birth is dangerous, that pregnancy is an accident waiting to happen, is devastating for women, for their health and for their self-esteem. So both physically and mentally, status quo prenatal care in America is really failing. Very differently in Europe, you know, most pregnancies, healthy pregnancies, low-risk pregnancies are followed by midwives. Mm-hmm. The midwifery model in Europe and in the United States is a much more holistic-minded model. An average prenatal with a home birth midwife is going to be an hour or more. All of your questions will be answered. You'll be seen. You'll be heard. You know, everything that healthcare practitioner will really get to know you. And honestly, doctors today, they don't know their patients, and they have a system that they follow, and that system isn't a good one.
It is, you know, and I have to say, I had a pretty good OBGYN. Dr. Samuel Tuleman has delivered thousands and thousands of babies here in the Dallas area for many, many years. The second time I went with a midwife, though, because I just wanted it to be more natural. And I, you know, I think with your first baby is the one that you're the most vulnerable, because you really, you know, all of a sudden you're pregnant, and then you're like, whoa, I need to know a lot of stuff. All of like it just floods your senses, your mind, everything. It's very overwhelming.
It's so true. And it's a huge change point for women. It's important to point out, like, you know, you could have lived your life just kind of oblivious or, you know, not really paying attention. And then you get pregnant and you're open. You're so open to new information. You mm-hmm. want what's best for your baby. And unfortunately, in this culture, women are brainwashed into thinking that what's best for the baby is to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I'm not, you know, there are absolutely wonderful obstetricians, and I'm so glad that you had such a good experience. And mm-hmm. I actually had a wonderful obstetrician too, Bernadette, but then she wasn't there when my baby was being delivered. So
oh, wow.
I was in a practice, and I thought I had established a relationship. I really liked her. She was young. You know, she rushed through every appointment, but I loved this woman. Mm-hmm. And then I did not see her. I never saw her. She never saw me. During labor, she never saw the baby, and I ended up with a horrible, horrible OB who was shaming and embarrassing me and, you know, just absolutely awful.
That's
and
terrible.
I imagine if I had been able to have the obstetrician that it wouldn't have gone down that way, but I didn't because she didn't show up. And women aren't told by their doctors that they establish relationships with that 9 times out of 10, if you're in a practice with more than one doctor, you're not going to get the doctor who knows you. You might get someone you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. Is that what prompted you to write the book? Was your experience being so difficult with that OBGYN?
Yeah, I mean, that was an interesting experience. And unfortunately, we don't have time, I don't think, to go into the details.
But yeah.
Because I actually ended up switching to the hospital midwives, and they were, believe it or not, they were awful. They were worse. So I had both a bad hospital OB experience and a bad midwife experience. And, you know, yes, I mean, it was the beginning of me questioning. After my baby was born, I thought that I had done something wrong. I thought that my body was a lemon, even though I was so healthy. I was in such good shape. I was, you know, exercising every day. Mm-hmm. I was eating optimally, at least I thought I was, you know. And then I had such a difficult birth experience, and I was so happy to become a mom. I don't know if that was your experience, but I had just wanted my whole life. Like, I felt like when I held this baby in my arms, it was like someone I had known forever, but was just meeting for the first time. It was so magical. And mm-hmm. everything around that birth had been so negative, and I thought it was my fault. So I even told somebody, oh, it's a good thing I was in the hospital, because if I hadn't been in the hospital, I probably would have died. Or, you know, that's what
wow.
they tell you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had drunk the Kool-Aid, Bernadette, and mm-hmm. it wasn't until I really started doing a deep dive into finding out things. What actually happened was that my insurance company denied to pay for the birth. And I got the insurance information. I got the hospital information. I realized that every single thing that they had done, everything that they had pushed on me, recommended, insisted on, was an extra cost. So I was slapped with this unbelievably huge bill for things
wow.
I didn't want, that I realized I did not need. And it was all supposedly in the name of the health of my baby. But mm-hmm. it turned out that they were going to benefit so much financially from it. And we fought that insurance decision. They said my pregnancy was a pre-existing condition, even though I had had the same insurance for 4 years.
Wow.
But, you know, what a great strategy. Just get somebody when they've just had a baby, and what are they going to do, you know? But that was a trigger point for me of thinking, wow, is what the doctors told me to do what was best for me and my baby, or was it what was best for their wallets and their hospital bottom line?
Oh, gosh. Amen for you for saying that, like, seriously. And there's so many examples of that in medicine, particularly when it comes to women and children, where they just ring the register and you go along with it. And if you ask any questions, you know, you're one of those crazy moms, you know, or crazy women. But, you know, when you were speaking about supporting, you know, women during pregnancy, or there was something that you said that made me think of that. Men really do not understand, most of them anyway, what it's like for their wife or their girlfriend or their partner to be pregnant. What do women really need when they're pregnant? Can you share some of your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think that what we really need when we're pregnant is kind of exactly what we're not really getting. So, you know, what you don't need is you don't need a huge amount of testing, and you don't need to be afraid, and you don't need to be told that you're an accident waiting to happen and that you're this or that, or this is wrong or that's wrong. I mean, what you really need, like my co-author Paul is Dr. Thomas, he says, you know, he looks at the men or the partners if they're in a same-sex relationship, and he says, you have to treat her like a queen. She is the queen. Treat her kindly. And, you know, I think that we as women need to treat ourselves kindly. It was very hard for me. I have a type A personality, go, 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 lots of energy. And I was exhausted and I needed to take naps. And I had kind of grown up thinking that you don't take naps. That's not something you're supposed to do. And it was so hard. But my body and my baby knew better, and I would fall asleep. And I, you know, and then I'd wake up and be like, oh my gosh, what was I doing? But, you know, what do we need during pregnancy? We need access to really good, healthy food, high quality food that has lots of nutrients. That means food that's grown without pesticides and herbicides. And I know it's so hard to feel like you can afford to buy organic food, but you've got to go to those farmers markets. You've got to make friends with people who have access to good food, and you've got to feed your baby food. Mm-hmm. And that is number one, Bernadette. And the doctor's not going to tell you that, because the doctors, if you go to their house and you look in their cupboards, you're going to see what they're eating.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, most of the time, mainstream doctors, and I don't mean to sound like there aren't absolutely wonderful ones like the OB that followed your first
baby. Oh, yeah. There's some fabulous doctors out there. Fabulous.
There absolutely are. So don't take this as doctor bashing. But, you know, most of the time, doctors aren't eating well themselves, and they're not feeding their families healthy food. So you need really good, high-quality food. You need to be moving your body every single day as much as you can, how it feels good to you. So, you know, that might be walking, that might be making love, that might be going for a swim or taking a prenatal yoga class. I mean, there's no right way, but you have to get outside and you have to get moving somehow, some way. And, you know, if you're someone who's standing on your feet all day because that's your job, that just makes you exhausted. And I know you don't want to exercise after that, but that doesn't really count. It just, you know, and rest is hugely important. And, sorry, I'll just tell you one more because I could also go off on this forever.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? I'm going to ask you to stay on the line with us after we go to break, but finish what you were saying. I'm hoping that you can.
Oh, no, I just wanted to say that it's really important to allow yourself to rest, to allow yourself to relax. And then pregnancy is the time to start working out some of those difficult psychological things that you've been avoiding for the first 20 or 25 or 30 years of your life, because your whole life is going to change in such a profound way. And you've got to show up for it. And that means sometimes doing some hard psychological work that you may have not wanted to do before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can relate so much. I'm an A-type personality, too. And it was hard for me to transition from being, just a kick-butt worker and a business owner to, okay, now all of a sudden I'm going to do what, you know? And I think your partner has a lot to do with that. Their attitude about, you know, you getting enough rest and, you know, taking the time. If I told you some of the stories when I was pregnant. I mean, I would sleep on the floor. I was in the pizza business. Okay. Then Pizza Patron and then Wingstop. But in the early days of Pizza Patron, like, I was pregnant and I would go and sleep on the floor and set the alarm clock, because we used to do a lot of food for UPS, and I would deliver throughout the middle of the night. And I was pregnant doing this. And it's like, I should not have been doing that, even so much as mopping the floor. I had my baby, my first baby, Vincenza, a month early. because I was working every single day and working like I normally would, even mopping the floor like the night before to save 10 bucks, I let my employee off early, you know, or 12, or however much she made an hour. I said, no, I got it. I'll mop the floor. And I went into labor a few hours later. But, you know, I think all women have these war stories, if you will, of how hard we work, pregnant or not. And I do think that women just need a little more understanding and TLC when they're pregnant. But we're going to go to break. You can stay with us so we can talk. I have so many questions for you. I want to get out some information. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Naveen Mendoza, Jackie Schlegel, and Dr. Jennifer Margulis. She is an award-winning journalist, book author, and sought-after speaker. She is the author of Your Baby, Your Way, and the co-author of The Vaccine-Friendly Plan. Dr. Margulis is an internationally recognized children's health advocate, and her specialty is promoting science-forward writing for a vibrant life. She currently lives in Oregon with her husband and four children. Her website is jennifermargulis.net, and that's M-A-R-G-U-L-I-S. Such a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you for staying with us. Okay, so I have so many questions. I'm having trouble focusing. We've only got a couple of minutes, but, you know, or not focusing, but picking the ones that I really want to hear or what I think our listeners want to hear. And one of the things in your book that really, really caught my attention is, well, there's two things about the cesarean section, and then routine ultrasound does not help you to have a healthy baby, and a disturbing hypothesis, ultrasound exposure triggers autism. Can we talk about the ultrasounds first?
Absolutely. And you know, ultrasounds and cesarean, overuse of cesarean, are very connected. So the first thing that people need to know is that there is no medical reason in a low-risk pregnancy to have an ultrasound. So even if you want to, you know, find out the gender of your baby, I like to say that wombs don't come with a view. And so right away, we're doing these ultrasound scans, and it's something that is so part of the culture now, the medical culture, but it turns out that they are actually not necessary.
Yep.
The guidelines from ACOG, so that is the trade organization of obstetricians, says very clearly that if you're going to do an ultrasound, you should do it at the lowest possible exposure for the least amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that every obstetrician's office should be following in the United States. But unfortunately, as we talked about before, Bernadette, every time you get an ultrasound, the doctor gets more money.
So of course.
The doctors are running businesses, and they are paying for a hugely expensive ultrasound machine, and they need to recover their costs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they'll say things like, let's just have a little look at the baby, or don't you want to see your baby today? And in fact, if a woman, more than anything else, when you ask to have gentler prenatal care in a status quo situation, mainstream medicine, when you say, I don't want an ultrasound, a doctor will look at you like you have five heads. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they absolutely have no thought whatsoever that ultrasound could be anything that anybody doesn't want. So the first answer is that it's not necessary unless, and let me say this, it's very important because I'm sure there are some people listening who are shaking their heads. If you know that you'll have an abortion, so if you find a problem with the fetus and your choice is going to be to abort that fetus, then there is some, you know, indication for an ultrasound. If you feel like an abortion is not an option for you, then I would ask the question, okay, if there's something wrong with the baby, first of all, we're going to find it out another way. So what I'm saying is don't do routine ultrasound, but like, let's say that, and doctors aren't doing this anymore, but when they palpitate your belly and they see if something is going wrong, or if you're, you know, if your growth doesn't seem to be optimal, like there are times when it makes sense to have an ultrasound, but routine ultrasound in a low risk pregnancy is absolutely unnecessary unless you're wanting to abort a fetus, right?
Wow.
So for me, that was a big question in the second, I have four children, I had ultrasounds in the first pregnancy. I didn't know this information. And then with the second one, I actually had a friend. I had two friends who lost their pregnancies, who lost the fetuses. And one had an ultrasound. They found problems and they chose to have an abortion. And one didn't, had an ultrasound, found problems, and chose to let things happen naturally. And so they actually birthed the baby and got to say goodbye.
Oh, wow.
And so my husband and I were having these really hard conversations because I thought to myself, oh my God, what if something is wrong with the fetus that I'm carrying? And I felt very strongly that there wasn't, but I also felt very strongly that for our family, abortion wasn't an option. So there was no reason for me to find out that there was something wrong with the baby because I was definitely not going to have an abortion.
Yeah.
So, you know, without any other indication, But the more important thing, and since the book was published, Your Baby, Your Way, we have more studies. They aren't very well done. I have to put that out there. But we have even more studies showing a very strong association with ultrasound exposure and brain damage in offspring. So,
wow.
You know, the hypothesis that is that Manuel Casanova, who is an MD, PhD, and a unbelievably brilliant neurologist and neuroscientist, his hypothesis is that if you have ultrasound exposure in the brain at a bad time during fetal development, that you're actually kind of tipping that brain over to have brain damage or autism as when the baby is born. And that's something that should be systematically studied. And unfortunately, it's not being studied the way it should, but we have even more corroborating evidence. So this is just a hypothesis. There is very likely multiple causes to the kind of explosion of brain damage that we're seeing in kids today, and overexposure to ultrasound may very be one of those contributing factors.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about cesarean births, and what are your thoughts on that? You said there was a connection between the two.
Well, because what does ultrasound do not only is it unnecessary, possibly damaging to the fetus, but it also gives doctors reasons that are not evidence-based to go in and say, we have to get that baby out, you have to have a C-section.
Mm-hmm.
So often what they'll say is oh, you've got your amniotic fluid is too low, which is absolutely ridiculous, Bernadette, but they'll literally send a woman who's 34, 35 weeks pregnant in for a cesarean because they say she has low amniotic fluid. And if they sent that woman home, told her to hydrate and to rest and to come back tomorrow, as opposed to sending them off for a C-section, chances are very likely that C-section wouldn't be necessary. And let me just say that this is a hard topic. There are literally millions of women every year having cesarean birth. The number of cesarean deliveries for the last year that we have data, which is 2018, was 1,208,176
women. Wow.
So, you know, and again, my co-author, Paul Thomas, on the Vaccine Friendly Plan, he's a C-section dad. His first baby was born during C-section. And I want to recognize that there are absolutely times when this is a life-saving intervention. And I'm so grateful that we have that as an option. That said, probably 600,000 of those cesarean operations were not necessary.
Yeah.
So we are giving a full, it's 31.9% of women are giving birth in America via C-section. You can't tell me that 32% of our population cannot birth vaginally. And there are so many reasons to avoid a C-section and so many reasons why a vaginal birth is better for the baby and the mom.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really hard because, like I told you, I didn't have a C-section, but I felt like I had done everything wrong and that the hospital saved me. And most of these women who have C-sections are coming home believing that their life was saved and not understanding that they've actually been set up to have problems with their children's health for the rest of their lives.
Well, I'm so thrilled to have you on the show. You're an excellent speaker, by the way. I could listen to you all day long. Okay, so my final question is, what is your advice for anyone who may have just found out they are pregnant?
Okay, so my advice is surround yourself with positive people. Make sure that your partner is on board to treat you like a queen. Understand that this is an incredible, health-giving, exciting, and wonderful time of your life. And find practitioners to help you who believe that. So go, it could be home birth midwife, definitely interview a midwife. If you've never talked to a midwife, just go talk to a few.
Mm-hmm.
Or you find yourself an obstetrician who really celebrates birth and understands that natural birth is really the way to go. And the way it's been put is the most scientific birth is the least technological. So surround yourself with people who understand that this is absolutely fantastic and stay away from the gloom and doom and turn off the TV news.
Oh, my gosh. I wish we had more time. I want to, when you come on next, I want to talk about the misleading formula advertising, but we don't have time today. Thank you so much, Dr. Margolis, for being on the air with us today. Such a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right. It was fun for us, too, and informative for all of our listeners. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Jackie Schlegel is going to give us a Texan for vaccine choice update, vaccine injury event. Stay tuned. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Jackie Schlegel. Before we get to her content, I want to let you know you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Or you can go right to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, Wild Foods, Crazy Water, Veg World Magazine, Paleo Magazine, The Well-Being Journal, Thorn Research, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition and Paleo FX. It is going to be in Austin, Texas, in April the 24th through the 26th. What are the dates, Navi?
It's going to be the 24th through the 26th, and we're going to be on stage doing interviews the whole time. And
there's going to be so many people there that we know that have been on the show for years, or people that we've had on the show over the years. And I want to let everyone know, like Mo Brossette, he'll be there actually with us, all of us are going to be there. Sean Wells, ton of people that you listen to regularly on the show. But it's not just for paleo. It's not just for keto. It is for everyone that wants to live a better life and get their nutrition and fitness where it needs to be. Baby steps at a time. You don't have to be a model to go there. You don't have to be, an expert nutritionist.
So yes,
you will be there. Actually, Texans for Vaccine Choice. You said you're going to have a booth there.
I'm coming. I believe that is the plan.
Well,
yes.
Well, I love those guys. Michelle and Keith Norris are the founders, and their story is actually a beautiful one. They started Paleo FX after they lost their daughter.
I did not know
A lot
this.
Of people don't know that. And Michelle has told the story on the air a couple of times, and perhaps she'll come back and tell it again because it's very inspirational of how you move forward after such an incredible loss.
There's a lot of good content that I need to go back and listen to.
Yeah. Well, it's always great to have you in studio.
I'm so happy to be here.
Jackie Schlegel, I love this woman. She is full of energy. She is the executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. When legislators are led astray and propose bills that will take away vaccine choice and parental rights, Jackie Schlegel stepped up to the plate and said, not on my watch. And in 4 years, Jackie has taken a group of just a bunch of moms and turned it into the epitome of grassroots activism, and I absolutely love it. And so that fledging group of 20 is now a political action committee of over 20,000 followers, as well as several thousands of members who proudly call themselves Texans for Vaccine Choice. Her unshakable dedication inspires all members to have a laser focus on one goal and one goal only: to maintain vaccine choice in the great state of Texas. You can find her at texansforvaccinechoice.com. Okay, so when Dr. Margolis was on the, we just got off the air with her. She
was fantastic.
She was fantastic. And there was a very big correlation between what she had to say and what you want to say.
Absolutely. Well, I could have just listened to her all day long. And I, in my brain, as she was speaking, I just kept thinking to myself, this is everything we're fighting on the vaccine issue. But what I really, what she was speaking of, supporting a mother during this, crucial process of giving birth, which is this amazing, beautiful thing that we all celebrate. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. But we also need to do that with mothers and their journey and empowering them to make good decisions. I know when you go back and I think about, my personal experience and what so many mothers are just beat over the head with is this fear that you don't know how to raise your child, that, you know, they're going to die of all these deadly diseases, or you can't do anything right and you got to go all these well visits. Mm-hmm. And we are telling mothers that they don't know how to raise their babies, that they're not listening to their intuition, that they're not in tune and they're not engaged. And really, I just want to tell parents and mothers, step back. You know, that same calm, that same compassion, that same everything we need to support these mothers in pregnancy needs to carry over to raising their children. They are capable. When you
and
go,
fathers too.
Absolutely.
I have a nephew who his wife she's a drug addict, and she left him with the four boys. Yeah. Four little boys he raises on his own, and he's got his hands full. Yep. And he too, you know, has all these questions. It's not just a female thing. There's a
Absolutely.
Lot of guys out there raising children alone.
Absolutely. And I completely agree with that. But we tell these parents as they are, you know, going and getting into these relationships with their physicians. Oftentimes they go into these offices and it's just this like authority figure that's going to tell you what to do because you're not smart enough to make the decision
right.
on your own.
Little lady.
And we basically just hand this right over to them and look up to them as authority figure. Mm-hmm. This is a partner in your health. Whether you're talking about your body and what you're doing or your child, ultimately, you live with the consequences of that yeah. decision, not that physician. And
right.
we need to be empowering parents and telling them, dive deep, you know, take the time to know your child and know your baby and have, most importantly, partners in their health care. That's what this is about. My doctor is a partner in my child's health. And if you can't respect that role, you won't get my business because ultimately this is a business.
Well, you know, there's plenty written. There's plenty of evidence that question vaccine safety. So why can't we talk about it with our pediatricians? Why can't we talk?
Well, that's the first red flag right there. If you can't have an honest discussion
an
without
intelligent
hostility
conversation, yes.
and you know, without the fear, then that you really need to think twice about whether that person should be, you know, have a say
right.
in your care. But here's what we do know. You know, one of the things we wanted to bring up was this event in November that we attended in DC with thousands of other families and practitioners and doctors. We absolutely know children are being injured by their vaccines. I think there's many questions on why or how this is happening or where the problem lies, but I don't think it's a question anymore. If it's happening,
right.
I mean, this is, it's not, as we go all across not only the state of Texas, but nationally, and you see these families who have these vaccine-injured children, and then these healthy, happy, articulate, unvaccinated children, why isn't that enough to just open up the discussion?
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're asking, is to look at these lives. These parents, many of them vaccinated, they vaccinate abundantly. And we are now going up an industry that has just said, you know, we don't care about these families and we don't care what their experience is. The science is settled. Enough said. Book is shut.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, we are going to file 40 bills across 22 states to remove or restrict vaccine exemptions, meaning
wow.
you will not have access to public school. That's what's happened in 2019. 22 bills in 17 states to completely remove exemptions. 5 of them passed. What are we doing?
That scares the bejesus out of me.
It ought to scare it out of everybody, because regardless of where you stand on this issue, they are making progress to remove our rights, and we have to fight back. Again, just from the fundamental position that we own our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We have rights to protect our children and to make medical decisions for them. Who is pushing this agenda? It's not the people.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Let's talk about that. Who's pushing it? Go
well,
ahead.
You know, the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly the industry. But I think that's what is so, and it's not just the pharmaceutical industry. I would, you know, say that the corporations and the media,
mm-hmm.
and it's very convoluted.
It is.
And,
the fraud is so deep, it's almost hard to process.
It is. But what's fascinating is when you talk about this subject is most people agree that these industries are corrupt. But somehow with vaccines, oh, Not in that industry, yeah. You know, well, everything goes smoothly there.
Right. Well, because when it comes to your children, you want to trust that you know, that doctors and our government and insurance companies, they all have our children's best interest in mind.
And I do believe a lot of these people they're doing good
right.
for us.
Right. But that it needs to be talked about, and it yes. needs to be talked about a lot before we ever pass any act that makes it mandatory for all Americans to receive vaccines.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you know, I love having you in studio. I really
do. I love being here.
I know. And you know what? Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. It's always inspiring to have you in studio. Everyone, you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.